And that's not going to do anybody any good to try to sway someone. I believe that there are really good meaning, good Christian people that use other versions of the Bible. But I do believe it is a serious issue and an important issue. So I believe it's possible to stand firm on it, but also be compassionate and to have empathy, because I haven't always been King James only. I've read other versions, including the NIV and other versions, the ESV. But I came to a place where I saw that all of them were saying different things. The King James had verses that these don't. And I've spent the past 2 weeks presenting that to you. Last week we just went through the book of Matthew and just looked at some areas in the book of Matthew where the King James has a verse Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then the English Standard Version, that verse is completely not in there. And so I posed the question, are things that are different the same? And the answer to that is obviously no. Things that are different are not the same, right? So did they take those verses out? Did they take those words out? Or did the King James add those words in? Both are very serious because I want what God said. I want what God said. I want every single word that God said. So if the King James translators added to what God inspired, then we've got a problem. If the other manuscripts and the Nestle Allen and the Westcott Board, if they took away from what God said, then we've got a problem. So we've got to figure it out. Which is it? Did the King James add to it? Or did the other ones take away? We will get into that. But what I really want to do today is just focus in and hone in on just bibliology and basic Bible doctrines. I believe that's where we have to start. Okay? And so we're going to go through three major doctrines when we're talking about the Bible and how we can trust the Bible. And so those three are, the first one is revelation. What is revelation and why is it important? The other is inspiration, which is very important. And then the other is preservation.
Amen.
All three of these are very important. And there's others too, like transmission, and we'll look at that. But these are the three I want to start with. So, basic Bible doctrines.
Amen.
All right. So, with that, we're going to start with revelation. All right. What in the world is revelation? Well, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, but I think that that's a good way to define what revelation is. In the book of Revelation, we have Jesus unveiling information. Information that had been veiled that is now being unveiled. We have Jesus disclosing information about future events that are getting ready to happen. We see things happening in heaven. We see things happening on earth. We see things happening 1,000 years, 2,000 years from now. We see things happening in eternity past and eternity future. And so what revelation is the disclosing of information, right?
Right.
Okay, so in the doctrine of revelation, you have two main forms of revelation. You have what's called general revelation, and then you have what's called special revelation. All right? So let's look at general revelation. What in the world is general revelation? Well, we're going to look at the Bible and see. So I want you to turn to Psalm 19, and then I want you to get your finger at Romans 1. So Psalm 19. Still not there. Psalm 19 and Romans 1. So hold your places there. Okay. This is general revelation, what I am getting ready to read to you. This is specifically what general revelation is. And it's in Psalm 19 and verse number 1. It is this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All right, so by that verse and that verse alone, that tells us that God, in some way, in a very general way, has revealed himself to humanity. Right? You walk outside, you see the trees, you see the sunset, you see the sky, you see the sunrise. I just recently went to the beach. You see the ocean. You see all of that. You see a painting. Guess what? There was a painter, right? You see a building. Guess what? There was an architect, right? You see creation. There was a creator. So God has generally revealed himself to us in the sky, in the clouds, in the plants, in the trees. We have God revealing himself. And there's a great book. It's called, I forget who wrote it, but it's called The Gospel in Nature. The Gospel in Nature. And it is amazing. You can see the Trinity in the sun and just, I mean, it's just amazing. God has revealed himself. God wants to be known, right? Amen. God wants to be known. And he has revealed himself. You look at creation, you know. Unless you have suppressed the truth so much, like atheists and agnostics do, unless you have suppressed that so much, you look at creation, you know that somebody had to create it. All right? That is what we call general revelation. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1, the Apostle Paul affirms this in Romans chapter number 1. So let's go there. Romans chapter number 1. And let's start reading in verse 18. All right? The Bible says this: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God and his Godhead can be seen in creation. That is general revelation. God has revealed himself through creation. I've told this story before, but I love it so much, I'll tell it again real quick. Mark Edwards, a missionary, one of our missionaries in Brazil. There was one time when I was, I think it was like around 2010, 2012, somewhere. No, it was way before that. It was like 2008, 2006, somewhere in there. But we couldn't get a hold of Mark because he had traveled into the depths of the Amazon and went to an unreached village there in the Amazon. And nobody knew where he was. Nobody had heard from him for weeks. It may have not been weeks, maybe days. You remember that, Pastor Green? Yeah. Okay, so he did that. When he got there, he came to one of the tribal people there, and the tribal person said that just a few weeks before Mark came to that village, that man in that tribe was looking up at the stars and was praying that whoever created that would make himself known to him. And just a couple of weeks later, God pressed it upon Mark's heart to travel into the depths of the Amazon. Now, here's what a lot of the people do that we see in the jungle and in the Amazon and in, you know, Papua New Guinea and all that, is that we see them, they see creation, they know that there's a God.
Right.
But what they do in Romans chapter number 1 is they begin to worship the creation more than they worship the Creator.
Yes.
And they make a God for themselves. And that's why you have people throughout history who have worshipped trees and worshipped the sun god and the moon god,
yeah,
and the frog god and the fish god and all of that. They worship creation and not the Creator. But I believe if you are genuinely seeking after truth, that God will make himself known to you. Now, God has generally done that.
Yeah.
But then God specifically, to that person who was in that tribe, God specifically made himself known. And that is what's called special revelation. Special revelation. So we have the general revelation. We see God in creation. But we have special revelation. Now, this special revelation throughout history and throughout the Bible has manifested itself in different ways. God has revealed himself specifically in different ways. In the Old Testament, we see God appearing before man, right? Literally, God appearing before man. God, we have been doing homeschool with Nora, and we've been going through creation. And I think we often forget about this, but in Genesis 3, God literally walked with man in the coolness of the morning, in the coolness of the day. So we have an appearance of God. We have God specially and specifically revealing things through dreams. We see that in Joseph. We see that in Daniel and the interpretation of those dreams, right? Which is not going on today, which I will get into that later. But God does not reveal things to you in dreams, right? Today.
Yeah.
If he does, you've taken too much PCP.
What?
Dreams. I guess just any amount of PCP is not good. You cross the line of your amount of PCP intake. All right, so appearances. God appears before man. God comes to man in dreams and in visions. We see this in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is called special revelation, where God is specifically revealing things about himself to people in dreams, in appearances, in visions. We see that all the time throughout Scripture. But the way that God has specifically chosen to speak to us in this day is not through appearances. Never in my life have I seen God. It's not through visions. It's not through dreams. But it's through the Word of God. This is special revelation. The content in this book, that is the information that God has revealed to us through this book. Let me just say this. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, at testimony time, at testimony, don't tell Peter, at testimony time, sometimes you hear, well, you know, and everything, God told me to tell you this and everything. No, he didn't. God did not tell you that.
Yeah, come on.
If you believe that, then I could come in here every single Sunday and tell you that God, outside of Scripture, told me something. And I am putting the same amount of authority on what I say than what the Bible says. That's what Pentecostals do. That's what Charismatics do. They say, God's given me a word from heaven. It's not in here. But God has spoken to me in a dream, in a vision. If that's the case, then I could come in here and I could say anything that I want to and just say that God told me it, that God told me. Last night, I was dreaming. And I had a dream about, you know, what? About what?
Pickles.
About pickles. And I don't know why that came in your mind, but I'm gonna give you truth of God about pickles and the vision that I've received from him. No, do not take anything that's outside of this as truth. This is truth.
Amen.
This is truth. All right? Yeah. So what I've got to do as a preacher is I've got to come in here, I've got to open this book up, and I've got to tell you what this thing says. Not what I believe. Not some vision, dream, opinion, belief that I have. But I've got to tell you what the Word of God says. Why? Because God has revealed himself specifically and specially through this book. Now, we see special revelation, the ultimate special revelation, when God revealed himself to us in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the ultimate special revelation. Jesus Christ is how God has revealed himself to us, becoming a man, robing himself in flesh, dying on the cross, being buried, and rising again. But as far as God speaking and God's revelation to us, it is the Word of God. You want to hear God speak out loud? Then read the Bible out loud. And it is God speaking. That is special revelation. Now, the way that you can think about it is, the revelation is the content. There's things about God that he wants us to know. Right? Now, we're going to go on to inspiration.
Amen.
Inspiration is the way that he has chosen to do it. He could have waited. We could have had, just people tell the story of God throughout centuries. But you know how unreliable that would be. God specifically chose to reveal himself to us through the Word, because that was the most reliable way to do it. And so, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy.
Yeah, come on.
2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and verse number 16 and 17.
Come on.
Everybody okay?
Yeah,
all right.
This is good.
Okay. Now, inspiration. Okay. The Bible says this. All, in verse 16. All. What does all mean? Okay. All means all, and that's all means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, does that mean that every writing that has ever been? No. We're talking about the canon of Scripture. Genesis to Revelation. We're talking about the 66 books of the Bible. We're talking about the 1,189 chapters of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, if you want to be upright and you want to be truly furnished and you want, truly furnished unto all good works, then you need to have an all Scripture Bible.
Yeah. All right?
But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. All of it. All right? Now, what does the word inspiration mean? It means God breathed.
Yes.
It means God breathed. Now, I want everybody to do something. I want you to take your hand. I want you to put it in front of your mouth. Just about 2 inches in front of your mouth. And I want you to say, Pastor Chad had a dream about pickles. Ready? Pastor Chad had a dream about pickles. Did you feel anything on your hand? Yeah. What did you feel?
Air.
Breath.
You felt breath, right? That is inspiration. God breathed it.
Yes, sir.
Now, praise God, ooh, God didn't breathe. Pastor Chad had a dream about pickles.
Yeah.
But God breathed it. God breathed it out.
Come on.
So that is how we know that the Word of God is true and is authoritative, is because every single word in that book came from the mouth and heart of God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know what the doctrine of Holy Spirit is in theology? The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. You want to know why? A pneuma. P-N, is it U-E-M? Pneuma. Pneumonia, right? That's where we get the word pneumonia. Breath, breathing. Pneumatology, the Holy Spirit breathing these words and guiding these men. That is how it happened. Now, yes, the men that were used, that were inspired of God, they were sinful men. Every single last one of them was a sinful man, but God breathed in them so that they might write what God wanted us to know. And that is inspiration. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. These are great verses to highlight if you're a Bible highlighter. Do we have Bible highlighters in here? You don't mind writing and highlighting in your Bible? How many will not write in your Bible? Okay. That's fine. All right. The Bible says this, for the word of God is quick. You know what that means?
Yeah.
It means that it's alive. You want to know why it's alive? Because God breathed it into existence. What happened over in Genesis chapter number 1 when God created the world? And God said, he breathed it out. God said, let there be life. When God breathes, it causes life. And that life is continuing on till this day. And God has breathed this book into existence. And I don't know about you, but every time that I read this book and I dive into this book, I just feel like life is coming into me.
Yeah.
I feel alive. I feel revived because it is a living book because God has inspired it. All right. God determined to have the truth regarding him recorded in written form because he knew the inaccuracy and unreliability of oral tradition. He also understood that dreams and visions of man can be misinterpreted. God decided to reveal everything that humanity needs to know about him, what he expects, and what he has done for us in the Bible. And that is why we believe in the final authority of Scripture in all matters of faith and practice. There is nothing outside of Scripture that has authority.
Right.
No man, no church, no system. The Bible is what has authority. And the reason that it has authority is because God has inspired it. All right? Now, that leads us to the last one. We have Revelation, which is the content, what things that God wants to know, wants us to know about him. Inspiration is how God went about it, inspiring men to pen down the words of Scripture. Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What good would it be if God inspired a man to write down, let's say, the book of Genesis? What good would it do for God to inspire these men to write down the Scripture and yet not preserve it?
Yeah, right.
For us to have it? Wouldn't make any sense at all. So God inspired it, but also God preserved it, right? And we'll get a little more in depth in this next week when we go over transmission, you know, the Masoretic text and, you know, how God chose to preserve it. But let me just read you a few verses. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. We're almost done. Bear with me. Bear with me. Okay, Matthew 5 and verse number 18. Look at what it says. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not one jot, not one tittle. These are markings in the ancient languages. Kind of like a comma or an apostrophe. These things, the law of God, not one jot, not tittle, will pass away, all right, till all be fulfilled. Turn to Matthew 24 in verse 35. Matthew 24 in verse 35. The Bible says this. Heaven and earth. These are great verses to highlight, I'm telling you. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth is going to be gone, but God's word will remain forever. And the only way that that can happen is if God supernaturally reveals himself, supernaturally inspires men to write his word down, and supernaturally preserves his word so that his words will never pass away. Isaiah 40 said it, the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Now, next week we'll get into a little bit more in depth in how God did that with the Old Testament text and then the New Testament text.
Yeah.
But we need to take God at his word. He said his word will never pass away, that his word will stand forever. I believe that. And the only way that that can happen is if God preserves his word. And friends, I believe that God preserved his word. And I believe that we hold it in our hand this morning.
Yeah.
And we should praise God for that.
Yeah.
That God loves us so much that he would reveal himself to us in his word. That's amazing to me. So make sure that you continue to come to Sunday school as we go over this. And and just study why the Bible is the most amazing book that has ever been written. Amen. All right, Pastor Josh, will you close us out in a word of prayer?
Yeah, let's pray.